Welcome everyone to another edition of Community in Depth. We are so happy to have in studio with us today Hastings Council Member Lori Brox. She is Council Member at Large, and that seat is going to be up in November, and she has decided not to run again, which we'll get to in a little bit. But we recently had a Hastings City Council meeting, and we want to get caught up on things that were discussed there. How have you been?
I'm good, thank you.
Well, it's good to see you. So first of all, big decision that you made, and are you at peace with it?
I'm totally at peace with it.
Okay, then it was a great decision.
It was very bittersweet to start with. The day that I made the decision was very hard for me because I felt a sense of pressure removed. Campaigning is a big effort. It's taxing on your family, your friends, your kind of pulling everyone into the effort. We always said to our kids it's a family effort, campaigning, and people like to see kids at their door, not necessarily me. So I always took kids out with me door knocking. So I was relieved. I'm also sad because it's been a good run. I've enjoyed it. I feel like I'm decent at it. I care about the city of Hastings. I care about his future. And so it's kind of a hard thing to give up. But I feel like there's other people already who've lined up to take the spot. And I did that 8 years ago. You know, I put my name in the hat, didn't know what was going to happen. And I've learned a ton about the city operations, the way everything works. I know they will too, whoever it is that's elected. So I have hope. And I think it will be a new season for the city council. It's exciting, and we are kind of at a crucial point in time where some hard financial decisions need to be made. So in some ways, I'm relieved I don't have to make all those decisions, but I still have a job to do until the end of the year. So I'll still be there for a little while, wrestling with some of the things that we have to decide and working out the budget and the tax rate for next year, and I'll be a part of all those conversations. So
this really was a family decision, and I know your kids are at a pivotal age, and you've missed out on some things that you don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah, I didn't have kids when I started first race. I became a mom through foster and adoption, which is a story in and of itself. But, you know, campaigning is hard, but doing the job, a full-time job during the day, and then campaigning, and then doing city council, and then being a mom, I've recognized for myself that my bandwidth is run out. And if, you know, my kids are getting to the age where they're becoming busier people, they want to be involved in things. And we always talk about in our family, like family bandwidth, who's doing what, who needs to. My kids don't drive yet, so I'm still mom taxiing a lot, getting them to where they need to go. There's all those things that need to be considered, not just what my schedule is, but what my son's schedule is and my daughter's schedule is and Tommy's schedule is. So when we line it all up, I just campaigning on top of that felt overwhelming to me and made me feel like I wanted to cry. Just like, I don't know when I'm going to do that. And I want to let my kids at this time in their life do the things that they want to do. And I want to be there for it and participating in it and a cheerleader for them. So I just felt like my son's going to be in ninth grade. He's going into Hastings High School. I'm going to be a proud soccer mom so I can be at the games. I want to help him with what, you know, it's a big transition for him. So I want to be there for that. And my kids will be in two different schools this year. There's just a lot happening in our family that I thought it's time for me to get some time back. And it isn't a huge time commitment. I think some people feel overwhelmed by the idea of city council, like you're going to be doing it all the time. I think it's manageable and controllable. There's two meetings a month. You have committee meetings. A lot of those things are scheduled around our schedule, when we can make it, talking to people. Sometimes, you know, it involves talking to someone in the grocery store that you didn't expect, or
I know what that's like.
At the gas station. But I do that anyway, and I don't think that will ever stop. Now that I've had this job, I think that will always be a part of what I do, because you're an ambassador in some ways for the city and helping people to understand who you pay attention at a different level, and you have a different level of understanding, and it's a big education about how a city works. So I think that will always be a part of my life. But the meetings and some of the stuff, I just felt like it was time to kind of make way for someone else, make some room for someone else.
Well, I don't think you will ever regret that, Lori. You know, your kids are only young once, and you get one chance at this, so I don't think you will regret that ever. And I always like to say, I think people can have it all, sometimes just not at the same time.
I think as a woman, I feel the pressure to be doing everything and to be everything. And I think the problem is for me, I feel like my efforts get diluted. When I feel too spread out, I don't feel like I'm doing anything incredibly well.
Well, I think you're being honest saying that. I think a lot of people just would push through. But no, the thought of campaigning, I can't imagine.
Yeah, I think we talked about last time I took a relatively new job. I've been at my job for 8 months. I'm still learning my job. I'm in charge of a lot more budgeting for my job that I'm doing now. And I have authority that I didn't have before. And so that has its own learning curve and takes up its own amount of bandwidth. And it's my full-time job I need, you know, to keep. So that's something that's requiring more of my time and effort. And it's from home. But it feels like just a transition for all of our family, and it's a natural transition and it's a necessary one. So I don't leave with a chip on my shoulder or some angst on my back. I just am doing it because I feel like it's the best decision for my family.
Well, I think that's great. And your counterpart, the other city council member at large, Mark Vaughn, made the same decision. Have you had some great conversations with him?
Yes. I mean, it was hard to imagine myself being on the city council without Mark, because Mark and I have been in it since the beginning. We got elected the same year. We ran the same race. He is a very good colleague and friend. I have enormous amounts of respect for him. And sometimes when I thought about being on city council without him, I just couldn't envision it. What am I going to do without Mark? Not like I can't make decisions without him, but we've just been
on the same page.
On the same page, where we have the same position, we get a lot of the same calls. We just have a good relationship. We have a good colleague relationship. And so I was feeling sad that he made his decision before I did. And I just thought, I don't know, it didn't necessarily make my decision for me, but it just felt like when we ran originally, there were 2 seats open. And so now 2 seats have opened up here at large positions. The mayor is rerunning, obviously, but it gives the space for someone else to try it out and do something they haven't done before. And I think that's a necessary part of our democracy, is that different people are getting involved. So I feel good about it. I think it'll be great. And sometimes that'll be a former council member that gets involved, or there's an interim person appointed on the school board or whatever, but I feel like the more people that have exposure to the process and get involved, the better off we'll all be, because everybody needs to do their part. And it's just not up to a small handful of people. There's always too few people in the community that are doing a lot of different things. And we need a lot of different people to do these jobs and to take their turn. And I think it'll be great.
I'm sure you watched the recent forum. And what was that like to step back and kind of watch somebody almost interview for your job? That must have been kind of weird.
I told my colleagues after the council meeting, I made it to about the 3rd question.
And that was it?
That's all I could do. And it's not because anyone was giving poor answers. I thought everybody was doing the best job they possibly could. It's just that my perspective is one of, what would it be like to sit next to this person? And when people ask me, you know, people ask me, who do I vote for? And I was like, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. You got to do your own research.
No
kidding.
Have
you watched the forum? Have you read the profiles in the paper? Because my perspective is so different. It's not just an average normal. It's like, what if I was sitting next to this person and hearing these things live and responding to them? That's my perspective. What kind of colleague would they be? What kind of, you know, would they be cooperative with other people? I mean, just the things that I think that are necessary are not the same things that maybe a citizen who's not serving would think. So I don't like to put my thoughts in other people's heads. I want them to decide for themselves. You know, my neighbors were asking us, you know, about the city council race, because I appreciate that people want to take your word, but I really think the decision about who you're voting for has to be made yourself. So I watched a few questions, and I was watching it with my mother-in-law, and it's always interesting to hear somebody's perspective who's not on the city council. And actually, I had to take her home. We had her over for dinner, so that's why I stopped watching. It did occur to me that I should go back and watch my own forum from 8 years ago, because the answers that I gave and the things that I said are probably very similar to the things I was hearing, because when you haven't done the job, you have a limited perspective on what it means to do that job. And I did. And I'm sure the answers I gave then are much less knowledgeable than the answers I would give today, because I've had 8 years of living and breathing all this stuff. So I'm not saying anything negative about anybody that was on the forum. It's just, again, I have a different perspective, because Absolutely. It's like eating, living, breathing this stuff. And it took me several years to get into a groove in my own position. I think I was talking to Councilmember Fox too, and really, like, it takes kind of a year to ramp up to where you're understanding the process, how to get things on the agenda, appropriate ways to navigate working with city staff. There's a lot of rules and process and procedure, and some people view that as a negative thing, but I think it's a positive thing in the sense that it keeps it organized. And what is being said in the public meeting is kind, and everyone's prepared for it. You know, there's rules for a reason. It's not like we're trying to stifle public opinion by having these rules. I think that's a lot of times people's perspective is like, well, I can't just get up and say whatever I want about this topic. It's like, well, it's organized so that everything that comes to the city council is it's something that there's a decision to be made on. We make the decision, whether it's sending it to a committee, doing something, writing a new ordinance. You know, there's different outputs that can come out of that. But if it's a complaint, if it's a concern, those are all legitimate things, but they're not going to be worked out on the spot in the city council meeting. So a lot of that work has to be done in the background with city staff and the appropriate departments. And so I think there can be this idea that the meeting should be, we should be letting everything all hang out. And I think it's not designed that way for a reason, because it's organized and it is a formal process that we're using so that there's professionalism and courtesy. And certainly we don't want to stifle public opinion, but I think we do want council members coming to the meeting prepared, ready to discuss the topic, ready to make a decision, working on actionable items. These are the things that we expect, I think, as citizens, and I think that is what we should be doing. On the agenda last night, we talked about cannabinoids.
Yeah, let's talk about the meeting last night, because yeah, it was recognition, obviously, was a big piece of it. But then there was this discussion on cannabinoids, and I guess I didn't realize that the city of Hastings hadn't really thought about this bill going through so quickly.
And I don't think any city thought about it, because it was snuck in.
Explain the background.
So it was snuck into a larger bill, and it was voted on at the last minute at the legislature. So essentially there was a provision in the bill that legalized the use of cannabinoids, which is a very low level hemp substance, is my understanding. Now, I know there's a slight difference between hemp and THC, and I actually have a lot to learn about this topic.
And then where does CBD fall in this?
It's a totally separate thing. So, and they're all derivatives of the same plant, but my understanding is there's percentages and volumes used in these different products that will put them in different categories. So these are the things I have to read up on and learn myself.
I think we all do.
I don't know a ton about it, but I do know that it's a legal product in the state of Minnesota because of this bill. So most cities are now trying to figure out, what are we supposed to do with this? The state has said you can have cannabinoids. So a lot of the tobacco shops and CBD oil type places will have these things, but we don't have any sort of regulatory scheme and how they can be sold. Now, I don't know if we need a bunch of rules about that. Is this something that needs to be regulated? Councilmember Liefeld commented that it might be a revenue source. It might be a taxable revenue source. Now, my understanding is if it's a product that's sold, it would be taxed by state tax. There would be sales tax to apply to it. But like gas and other things, there can be taxes applied on top of that that would bring in revenue for the state or the city. So that is a topic that was raised. But I don't know a ton about the profitability of these, what they cost compared to what they're sold for. They're only available to people of age and tobacco.
What
21
is the age?
21.
Okay.
So it shouldn't be available to anybody under 21 years of age, but it is present at the same places where there's other tobacco products. I was very involved with the vape discussions, and it sounds very similar to that, although the interesting thing about the way the law was written for these cannabinoid products is there's a lot of stipulations about them not being targeted at children, which was the issue with vape was that a lot of the products were being specifically marketed at kids. And then not only it was 18 before the law was changed to 21, but then, you know, you have 18-year-olds getting stuff for 15-year-olds. And the high school staff was saying this is rampant at the high school. We're seeing it all over the place in the bathrooms. We need to make sure that whatever cannabinoids are, and I'm a person who needs to educate myself because this isn't something that I'm necessarily interested in for me. So I haven't really looked into it. But I know there are people that are. And so we need to decide as a city how we're going to handle it. And the law specifically says you cannot outlaw it. So because it's a legal product in the state of Minnesota, we as the city of Hastings cannot make a moratorium on having them.
But you can regulate it.
But we can regulate it. So we could tax it. We could say, you know, you have to have a license. So you have to pull a license from us in order to sell these products, which is a source of money. There's other things that we can do. So the item on the agenda was to go to the Public Safety Committee of the council, which is Councilmember Liefeld, Councilmember Fulch, and myself, I believe. And so we would take the issue. But Councilmember Lund suggested that we actually involve the Public Safety Advisory Commission, which is a commission of citizens who are involved in public safety issues. And they're often asking us, like, what are the things, policy things we can take a look at? Because we have people on the committee who have law enforcement experience, legal experience, and they're looking for these types of issues. So I was in agreement with sending that to the Public Safety Advisory Commission so that they can look at it, and that was what the motion that was made and passed. Now, that was a 4-3 vote, and the three other council members who voted against it weren't disagreeing with cannabinoids as a topic, but were disagreeing with maybe the city council should look at it first. And frame the issue for the Public Safety Advisory Commission. But our attorney, our city attorney, Corey Land, said she would write a memo and she would outline kind of what the major issues are and kind of explain to the commission, this is what we need to decide. Are we going to do this? Are we going to license it? Are we going to limit the number of licenses? Are we going to charge money for the licenses? There's all kinds of decisions like that that I think would be great for the commission to discuss. And I think they would find it interesting. I know I'm going to find it interesting to see what they come up with.
No kidding. And more to be discussed on that. Lori, we're out of time. Great to see you. Lori Brock, City Council Member at Large for the City of Hastings. And we're so happy that she is at peace with her decision to have 10 more meetings. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
Oh,